Good evening, and welcome to the Television Graveyard. We are your TV necromancers, Lara Prince and Noel Houlihan. We have come here tonight to examine the spirits of past television shows, to find out which ones could be resurrected, should be resurrected, and which ones should just stay doomed. This will be a podcast in which we analyze the history, the hype, and the aftermath of shows that ran only one season, or only one episode. With me, as always, is TV's Noah Houlihan.
Things stranger than me!
This week, we are doing Little Muppet Monsters, a three-episode Saturday morning show that aired in 1985 on CBS.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to what I believe will be the shortest episode of this podcast.
It is going to be fairly short.
Yes.
This was cute and fun, but it is, okay. It's a kid's show, so it's a little plot light.
Slightly.
So the way the show is formatted is underneath Muppet Theater in the basement, because they were playing water polo in flooded out, so Scooter made them go live it down in the basement.
Right.
There's three little monsters, Tug, yes. Molly, and Boo.
All right.
They live down in the basement, and they realize that they can harness the power of imagination to be on TV.
Yes.
They
build some sort of gizmo.
Yeah, it looks like a washing machine.
Yes.
It opens with a group of penguins breaking into a theater.
I mean, it really opens with a terrible theme song.
So, we got, especially in the first episode, we got a double theme song?
Yes, because
this aired in a double with Muppet Babies.
Yeah, it's a block of Little Muppet Monsters and Little Muppet Babies.
Yes.
And they mashed the two theme songs together, and it is terrible.
And then we get just the Little Muppet Monsters theme song, which feels really repetitive.
Muppet Monsters. It's fine.
No, I mean, it's repetitive after just having seen the mashup.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been fine on its own, but, like, it'd be repetitive if we just watched the Muppet Babies theme after that, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so then the penguins break into a theater.
Yes.
And we see, they're breaking into the basement of the Muppet Theater. Because they're just, like, looking for a place to live?
Yeah.
Just homeless penguins?
And let me tell you, immediately bothered by this.
Yeah?
Because I believe in canon, other than this show, penguins don't talk.
I believe you're right. I believe, especially in, like, I'm thinking of the Muppet Vision 3D in Hollywood Studios, which is one of my all-time favorite Disney things.
Right.
The penguins are physically there.
Yeah.
And they explicitly do not speak.
And because they're banned, right?
Yes. They're banned in this show as well.
Right. And they are also a big part of a Weezer music video.
Oh my God, I love that music video.
Because I know at the end, Kermit's like, good job, penguins. And the penguins are like, quack, 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 quack.
Yeah, and they explicitly do not speak in Muppet Christmas Carol.
Exactly.
Merry Christmas, penguins.
Wah, wah, wah.
Yeah, so they do explicitly not speak.
Yeah, so the fact that, like, the opening is the penguins, the Muppet penguins talking, makes me go, no.
Hey, boss, you sure this is the way to break into show business?
You want to break into show business, you've got to get put indoor.
But this is window.
Shh. Come on, get in there.
Don't like it.
I'm going to look this up. But this might be the first appearance of the penguins.
No.
All right.
He said defiantly with no evidence.
Yeah, I thought that was a little weird that you were not gonna say anything.
I'm trying to think if there's a time where I can think of the penguins. I do like the penguins a lot. I want to say like they were on Sesame Street, but I can't prove that either.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. I know the Nicky Napoleon and the Emperor Penguins. They are first seen in this show.
So they lose their ability to talk over time.
They are
because of this show.
Okay, so I was 100% right. This was their first appearance. We're not editing out the part where you were adamantly incorrect.
I'm the editor.
I'm going to like comment on every incarnation of this podcast. Noah was wrong about a thing. Noah tried to challenge my Muppets prowess. The penguins are Nicky Napoleon and his Emperor Penguins, Elmer, Eugene, and Estelle. Because I did not know they had names.
Yeah, they're always the penguins. Thank you, penguins.
So, they do debut in this show, and this is the only time we do hear them speak. But they are also, like, weirdly Russian, but that gets dropped pretty quickly as well.
Okay.
And we see two rats sleeping in a costume trunk.
Yes.
Neither of them is Rizzo.
Really? I thought one of them was Rizzo.
They don't sound like Rizzo.
Huh.
I'm actually looking and they are explicitly not listed. Rizzo, Little Muppet Monsters is not listed among Rizzo's appearances.
Rizzo's credits.
Yes, there is a very, very elaborate Muppet Wiki.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah, it's incredibly well kept. So there are two rats. I know there are other rat like just miscellaneous rats. Rizzo is the lead rat, and I always kind of assumed one of these would have been Rizzo.
Yeah.
But they are not. And Rizzo has debuted at this point.
Okay, so Rizzo is purposely not in the show.
Yeah, this is definitively not Rizzo.
Okay.
So they live in the basement of the Muppet Theater, the washer's magical portal, and lightning strikes the portal.
Yes.
Because the penguins have snuck in to take shelter from a thunderstorm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we see Gonzo doing...
I don't believe it! There's a picture coming in!
Where's Uncle Gonzo?
Oh, what's he doing there?
Probably something weird!
Gonzo's a fake here!
Reporting from the four corners of the globe to bring you freaky facts and oddball achievements. The most unheard of stuff you've ever heard of. Stuff that's even weirder than me!
When it gets hit, it causes... Uncle Gonzo to show up.
They're all uncle.
They're all uncle, which is very odd. And he describes things weirder than him. I don't really recall what he shows off in this segment.
It's a chunk of a silent film.
Yeah.
With like a magnet where the guy's like hitching a ride with a magnet.
And I definitely thought, I was like, this is a weird use of footage that you just had around.
Yeah, it's clearly non-copyrighted footage and... The performer for Gonzo is clearly just doing, like, an MST3K bit over it.
Yeah.
It's fine. It feels very cheap and very...
Yes.
This show feels extraordinarily low budget.
Yes.
Compared to even other Muppet productions. Because, like, Muppets are a very weird thing because, like, obviously each Muppet takes time, energy, and money to produce.
Yeah.
But this is a one-set show.
Right.
We see two other very small sets for Fozzie. Well, three. Fozzie, Kermit, and Gonzo each kind of have their own cutaways.
Area. Yeah.
Yeah. But they're very small sets.
Yes.
Like, they're probably maybe 5 feet across. Like, they're just big enough for a Muppet to be in. This is one of the first repeating segments we see. It's just, like, this newsreel... It reminds me a little bit of, like, vital information for your everyday life.
Yeah.
That kind of, like, it's a segment. It's not that funny.
Yeah, but it's a thing that's happening.
Yeah.
It's kind of like when Pee Wee Herman shows a cartoon.
Yes.
Like, it's just like, oh, okay.
So, the monsters decide they want to be on TV. Cut back to Tug, Boo, and Molly. And they're like, we should be on TV. Yeah, we'll do a show. And then it cuts away again. And it's the Muppet Sports Shorts.
Yes, which is animal learning sports.
Yes, this one is gymnastics. But Animal wants tennis.
Yeah.
So Animal's like lobbying for tennis. This is pretty funny.
Well, I really want to push something to you guys when we talk about this segment. This is not Animal the Muppet. This is Animal the Cartoon.
This is an animated sequence.
And it's fine physical comedy.
Yeah, it's a lot of, like, pretty good physical comedy.
It's almost all the same jokes as Goofy Sports.
Yeah, it's very Art of Skiing.
Yeah.
But it's...
Even with, like, the narrator and, like, it feels very much that formula.
Yeah. It works, though. The thing with children's entertainment is it's kind of easy to be derivative.
Yes.
Because they don't, like, kids don't necessarily know.
Right.
I mean, I to this day, will watch something and realize that something I watched as a child stole from it.
Yeah.
Like, to this day, I had something recently, and I can't remember what it is, but I was like, this cartoon I used to watch just straight up stole from this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So then, this feels so disjointed because we kind of, like, go back and forth between these segments, and then we go back to the basement.
Yes, and the basement, I feel like it's just constantly them being like, man, I'd really be great if we're on TV. And that's basically the only story we're getting.
It's a very thin frame story. We don't find much out about Tug, Boo, or Molly.
Boo is also the one that's making cartoons.
Yes.
And he makes pigs in space.
Yes.
So he's like, I drew this. Watch this.
Yeah, like, it's a very thin frame story. It reminds me a little bit of Eureka's Castle.
Yeah. We're like... There's the frame story, and then it's like, all right, now it's time for the claymation worms. Now it's time for the blanket dots.
Yeah, where they have repeated, like, these are the segments you see every time.
Yeah. So, I mean, the only other segments in this one are Pigs in Space,
yes,
and Fozzie and Kermit.
Yes.
Was this episode an hour?
No.
Oh my god.
These things are... The Fozzie and Gonzo bits are like under 2 minutes.
Yeah.
The Pigs in Space one is about 4 minutes.
And it's a two-parter.
Yeah, there's a commercial break in there. These shows feel wildly disjointed because all of these segments are so short.
Mm-hmm.
I consistently would feel like I missed half a segment.
I mean,
taking a note.
I'm trying to remember what happens in Pigs in Space. I remember they beam down to the other planet.
Yes, their ship is low on energy.
Because they need gas, yeah, right? And they end up getting, like, all, like, jumbled up body-wise.
Yeah, because the transporker doesn't work.
Yes, we get some true body horror. And then they're fixed.
Yeah.
Then they meet aliens.
The alien... The altered form that they take when Strange Pork messes up the Transporker is what the aliens on that planet look like.
Right.
So they think Piggy is hot.
Right.
Which two of the three episodes involve characters thinking Piggy.
Piggy is attractive, yeah.
Well, characters sexually objectifying Piggy in some weird fashion.
Yes.
They do the walk this way joke from Young Frank. This is the walk this way joke from Young Frankenstein, which you said was also from 38 Other Things.
Yeah. So many people do that joke.
Yeah, I think that was the thing I was actually thinking of oh, this was stolen from.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, Tug wants to do something about eating. Like, we go back and...
Wait, before we see this is how disjointed is this. How does Pigs in Space end?
They get fuel. Like, they turn back. The aliens are like, oh, you're not like us. Oh, you're gross looking. And they're like, we want fuel. And they're like, oh, you're tourists. And they give them the fuel and that's how it ends.
Okay.
It's kind of dumb. And then we get Tug, like, a very quick intercut that's like, reminder, the little Muppet monster still exists.
Mm-hmm.
And then we do the Fozzie's Comedy College.
Yes. This bummed me out.
I didn't like this.
Well, here's the thing. It is... He's not teaching comedy. He's kind of teaching, like, the history of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So it is... you've heard, why did the chicken cross the road? We are now going to investigate how the chicken crossed the road. Did he use roller skates and stuff like that? This bummed me out because there's a very early Plus Two comedy project called The History of Comedy that I did, where it is a lecture very similar to this on the history of knock knock jokes.
Oh, that's so funny.
So I was like, ah, okay, well, it looks like the Muppets did this 30 years before me.
That's kind of crazy because, like, this show did not rerun.
Yeah.
So it's not like you saw this.
Yeah, it's total coincidence.
I know, I just think it's interesting because, like, a lot of times you'll find something and be like, oh, this must have influenced me and I didn't know because I was a baby. So the interesting thing about this one is that it's a green background, like it's a chalkboard.
Like it's a chalkboard, which I thought
was cool.
And then
there's like an annoyed chicken.
Yes.
And like it's a little bit funny, but it's not great.
I really feel like they missed an opportunity here because the end like punchline is, how did the chicken cross the road? Carefully.
Yeah.
Which is an okay joke, but it's also an opportunity for a television show to be like, the chicken held the hand of an adult and looked both ways and waited for a green light. And it's like, you could have had like a nice little like educational value in this. Instead, it's just like, and now it's over.
I mean, the Muppets were never particularly known for shoehorning an educational...
I agree. However, you can look at Muppet Babies and say, the message of Muppet Babies is, use your imagination.
Yeah.
There's not a message in this. Like, Fraggles is about teamwork and accepting people.
Okay.
Muppet Show is about
your family of choice.
Yeah, your
and
family and like
working
I
together.
Yeah, I couldn't like voice that.
I'm actually we have a small thing in our studio of a Muppets quote.
Yes.
That's of when you have the same dream, it kind of makes you like a family. And I'm literally just staring at it right now.
So when I was watching this show, and we were about halfway, maybe more, through the pilot, I'm still at a point where I'm like, well, what is this?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really get an answer.
Yeah.
And then we have Kermit's cutaway.
Yes, which is Kermit Frog, Private Eye.
Private Eye. Which, I'm going to admit, I got some solid laughs out of.
Yeah, like, Fozzie and Kermit are hot on the trail of to be announced. Like, they don't know. They're looking for a case. And then their dirigible crashes.
Yes.
Into Miss Piggy's house. Mm-hmm. And she has lost her piggy bank.
Yes. Which causes them to travel around by map. Which is one of my favorite jokes.
It's a great joke.
I will say, it is jarring to have Piggy in this as well.
Yeah?
Because you just saw her in Pigs in Space. And, like, you don't really notice how different the animation is.
That's true.
Until you see a character that's in both. And you're like, oh, there's something wrong.
Yeah, because Fozzie appears multiple times, but Fozzie only appears in animation.
Mm-hmm.
In these cutaways, Fozzie appears as a live Muppet in his other cutaway.
And, like, Pigs in Space and the Private Eye are not that differently animated.
No.
But because you see Piggy in both, you're like, ah, she doesn't look right here now.
Yeah, she looks different.
I got some good laughs because they get attacked by like an abominable snowman.
Yeah, they go to the jungle.
With a banana nose.
Yes.
And they're like, oh, I've solved the mystery. It's old banana nose. And he takes off the costume, and he's a man with a banana nose.
Yes.
So it's funny that his costume also had one.
And then they, like, go into the jungle. An elephant is changing into a bamboo suit in a tropical phone booth for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
But I took notes on it because I thought it might be important later.
It wasn't.
Nope. And then piggy bank is shaped like a frog because it reminds her of Kermit.
Yes.
Weirdly, this is a story Kermit wrote.
Yeah.
Like, it's framed as a story Kermit writes, and yet he's uncomfortable with Piggy being like, it reminds me of Kermit, and he's like,
Well, yeah, I mean, that's his personal feelings coming through of, like, really not a big fan of this pig that has attached herself to me.
I, The romance between Kermit and Piggy has always been one of these, like, very weird, very inconsistent things.
Yeah, that's why I like that they broke up on the Muppets. On ABC. But we didn't get another season, so they couldn't fully develop that.
The reason we haven't done that show on Stay Doomed is because I'm, like, really bitter about its cancellation.
I can't believe we didn't do the Muppets on Stay Doomed.
I'm, like, actually quite bitter about that show being canceled.
I can't believe we did this instead of doing the Muppets on Stay Doomed.
We found out this existed from that Defunctland episode, and when we saw this was all on YouTube, we got kind of excited, and we were like, a Muppets thing we've never seen before, let's do it! And then it was this. There's a great comment, a great quote right after this Kermit the Frog PI thing, though.
Yeah.
Now this story has something in common with all great detective stories. It's over.
Which I thought, that's probably my favorite laugh.
It's the Muppetiest.
It's very Muppety. It's very true to form here. I do need to mention this. Kermit in the cartoon, not voiced by Jim Henson.
No.
But Kermit the Muppet is.
Yes.
And normally, you can get away with that unless you play them back to back.
Yeah, they appear in the same moment. I believe that's true of...
Very frustrating.
I actually believe that's true of almost all of them.
I think you are right.
It's just not great. So then we have the, I found way better synopses than my freaking notes. So the other gimmick with Kermit the Frog PI is that Tug goes up to Kermit's study and begs him to write these stories, which is probably why they're quickly written trash.
Okay, that makes sense.
And so when Tug comes back, Molly and Boo are doing a big musical number and they sing the song on TV.
Yes.
Which is a perfectly cute, serviceable Muppet song.
Yeah, I was a little surprised at how much you enjoyed this.
It was cute.
I think it speaks to the time it was made.
Yes.
Because in 2019... you would never hear someone praising television.
Yeah.
Like, just about, oh man, television is great, and like, all your dreams come true through television. That is not something that would be said today.
Yeah.
Because, like, television, in general, is kind of looked down upon.
It's kind of maligned, yes.
Yeah. And, like, for some reason, it's okay to be super into Netflix.
Yeah.
But being like, yeah, I'm a big TV guy, like, with, like, the...
Romanticizing film has always been popular and common.
Yeah.
Romanticizing the stage. But for some reason, even among actors to this day, like, TV is seen as lesser.
Yeah, and I think then, like...
Even more so.
Oh, I was going to say, then, like, it was still new, so there was still kind of this, like, wow, the wonders of television... But that has completely fallen off now.
I disagree. Because I know when I like reading about actors, TV has always been seen as lesser. And it's only in recent years where TV, you're getting shows like Big Little Lies and Game of Thrones where they're like event television.
Right.
And those stars are on the same level as a film star. I think what it is this idea of... You know, they're using their imagination to do something, and it sets up the rest of the series as being they're going to do different kind of parodies and pastiches, because the next two episodes are definitely parody.
Yeah.
Of existing genres. So the idea of, like, they're using TV as this kind of... It pairs well with Muppet Babies, where imagination... Muppet Babies tends to lean a little bit more toward film.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this idea of imagination and creating... And there's that very let's put on a show atmosphere. They have costume trunks and the penguins are the band and everything feels a little thrown together.
Mm-hmm.
And for them, it's TV. For the Muppet Babies, it's film. For the Muppets, it was the variety show
it's
on
theater.
Stage.
Yeah.
So, like, it kind of all does fit in a complimentary way. And this was 1985, so this was peak Saturday morning cartoon.
Yeah.
And this is when, like, for children, this was the primary entertainment.
Yeah.
There was maybe a couple kids' movies a year.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's not, like, a lot of stage productions for children.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think that's why TV, like, it's the most accessible one. Now there'd be... Oh, I just made up a thing I want. They should do, like, a Muppets, like, World of Warcraft.
I know that in VR, they have, like, these chat rooms, and Kermit is a very popular avatar.
Yeah, I would just love, like, a massive multiplayer game where you're, like, in the Muppet Theater.
That would be fun.
That'd be cool. All right, so episode two. This is the Space Cowboys episode.
Yes.
So they're, Tug is doing Monsters of the Universe, which feels like Masters of the Universe, but yet it is not a He-Man parody. It is a Star Trek parody. Yeah. Which is weird, because they're already doing Pigs in Space.
Yeah.
So this is Star Trek on top of Star Trek, and this is only the second episode, so it kind of feels like they're low on ideas.
Yeah.
But Boo and Molly think they're doing the Western episode.
Mm-hmm.
So they kind of, like, keep switching back and forth.
Yeah, because Tug's like, I'm older, we're switching. And they're like, fine. And goes, and after they walk away, he's like, all right, I'll switch. And then they both switch, and now Tug's a cowboy, and they're into space. Oh, these guys just can't get it together.
Yeah.
So they do that bit every time they come back from a cutaway.
Yeah, and then they do the Fozzie thing again. But now the chicken's on a blue screen and it doesn't work.
Yeah, it changed.
Loses that gimmick.
Yeah.
And it does not work.
And it was, why did the chicken glue
alarm clocks to its wings?
Yeah, because it wanted to have time on its hands. Okay.
It's not even very good physical comedy. Like, the chicken is clearly annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's not even funny. And then the Pigs in Space one is just weird.
Is this where they get
turned into
frogs?
Yeah, yeah. The Frogtrons go after them.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually have a note here that, like, everything feels like it ends very suddenly.
Yeah.
Like, this one feels very fever dream distorted.
Well, this is the one with another Gonzo, right? Because there's not an animal in this one.
There's not an animal
but
in this one.
But there is another Gonzo.
Yes.
And it's like, here's things weirder than me. And he shows, like, an airplane with someone hanging from underneath it.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, well, that's it.
Yeah, like, I actually missed it the first time we watched it.
It is so short that it feels like filler. And it reminds me of back when we watched the cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue.
Yes.
Where there's a sequence in it where I'm like, oh, this sequence could be as long or as short as needed to fill the time slot.
Oh, yeah, the one where they're on the roller coaster.
Yeah, and just stuff's happening.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Gonzo felt like. It was like, we don't have a lot of time, so just show as much of this weird video till we get the 22 minutes we need.
Yeah.
And, like, that really shows that this is not a tight show.
It is not a tight show.
It is just stuff happening.
And they do a funny bit with the frame story here with going weightless. Because it means the picture keeps getting
knocked up. The picture upside down.
Because they don't want to get stampeded by cows. Because now they're doing the cowboy thing for a minute. And, like, it's a neat little meta trick that, like, in 1985 would have been really cool.
Yeah.
To watch as a little kid watching TV. And then we see the cows, and it's like these three Muppet cows.
Yeah, there were a popular Sesame Street Muppet.
And I love anguished, serious actor cows.
Because
they're kind of like the cow equivalent of, like, I went to Juilliard for this.
Yeah.
So they're actually, like, very funny characters. So then we go back to Pigs in Space. Like, we spend way too long away from Pigs in Space. And then, like, this is so disjointed.
Well, I would like to point out that when we went to Pigs in Space in this episode, you went, huh, they ended the last episode on a cliffhanger. I thought they were going to go back to it. And I had to remind you that they did show the ending of that in the previous episode. But it was short and unsatisfying.
Yeah, and that's all the Pigs in Spaces are short and unsatisfying.
Because, like, this is the one that ends with them just kind of being like, oh, the thing that turned us into frogs wore off.
Yeah.
I guess we're fine now?
Yeah.
And then they put the captain's brain into a computer?
Yeah, so that it can't remember how to count.
So it can't count down to self-destruct.
Yes. It's dumb.
Yeah.
Also,
like, the Pigs in Space characters. There's, like, the scientist.
Yeah, Dr. Strange Pork.
There's Miss Piggy. And yeah. Then there's the captain.
Link Hogthrob.
Yes. It doesn't work that Piggy is the straight man.
Yeah.
Like, that, like, Piggy is over the top and demanding.
I do believe in most of the Pigs in Space Muppet Show skits, the guest star was usually the straight man. And that's the element that's missing.
Yeah, it doesn't feel true to Piggy.
No. Like, there were always other people and other things in Pigs in Space episodes.
Yeah.
Their sketches in The Muppet Show were always, like, a little bit more well-rounded. And I think the core difference between these animated sequences and sketches in The Muppet Show is that the sketches could just revolve around a joke.
Yeah.
They could be the same length of time and just revolve around a joke or a situation. This, because it's animated, feels the need to try to tell the story. And they don't really want to tell a story, so they tell a shitty story.
Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
So then, like, we get another little sequence with the little Muppet monsters where Boo gets attacked. And then we get my favorite animated cutaway. Muppet Labs, yo!
Oh, I forgot all about Muppet Labs happening.
Bunsen and Beaker! What? This is a good classic Muppet Labs sketch.
Yeah.
It's the gravity neutralizer. It kind of fits in with the theme of being, like, sci-fi.
Mm-hmm.
And anything you put it on top of, it will neutralize the gravity on it. So Beaker can lift a piano.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a safety feature. If the gravity neutralizer is going to fail, an alarm will go off.
And the alarm goes off.
And then the piano falls on Beaker, and Bunsen goes, "See, we knew it was going to happen. What a great safety feature."
Mm-hmm.
This is what the animated cutaway should have been.
Yeah.
This was a sketch that would have been hard to do with puppets.
Yeah.
This is literally what these animated sequences should have been.
Yeah, and this is the only one of these we get, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's only one more episode.
Right.
Then we get the requisite musical number, which made me think this was the end of the episode.
Yeah, I remember being like, oh, I guess it's over.
And it's like a cute little space cowboy song. It's a cute little kid show song.
Yeah.
It's not even as good as your standard Phineas and Ferb song.
Yeah, it's not like especially catchy or anything like that.
But it's cute.
Yeah.
And then they go to the Kermit the Frog PI sketch, and we're like, oh, there's still more show.
Yeah.
And it's, they have a joke about being dressed as bananas instead of avocados, which I think is the first avocado joke.
I guess you know why we're wearing these banana suits, huh, Fuzzy?
Because our avocado suits are at the cleaners?
Yeah.
So, you know, right when the millennials are starting to be born, avocado jokes.
Yeah, and it's suspicious.
But the whole thing is like an extended, a gorilla has gotten out of the zoo, and they decide to try to get a beautiful blonde to lure the gorilla to the top of the Empire State Building.
So they grab Miss Piggy.
And it kind of works.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know.
It's not great.
Yeah.
It feels like it was a bit that didn't make the plot of a Muppet Babies episode.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Also, like, the animation isn't as good as Muppet Babies.
No. The episode ends with Tug has gotten them stuck in the Upside Down.
Yes.
And then the snarky cow fixes it.
Yes. And then that's, he gets eaten by a Demogorgon.
Oh, man. If only.
No, they don't do that.
So the third episode is the first one that actually has a plot with the little Muppet monsters that feels like a story.
Yeah, and feels Muppety.
Yeah. They're going through hats. And Tug and Molly decide they're going to do an explorer-themed episode, like Indiana mm-hmm. Jonesy. But there's only two hats. So Boo finds a magician's hat And because of this, the spell book adopts Boo. And is like, I will help teach you magic.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's like the gimmick of this episode.
Yeah, and like this, I could relate to this whole thing of like, we want to create something, what do we have? Because like, I remember when I was younger, just being like, all right, my cousins are over. We have a video camera. Let's film something. What's around?
Yeah. I remember, like, my friends and I would be like, we want to do a science experiment. What have we got? Well, we have everything in the fridge. All right, we're going to make a new soda.
So, like, this is relatable.
So then, a magic book says Boo can be a magician. He's going to teach him how to do magic.
Yes.
Then we have another Fozzie's Comedy Corner of why did the chicken cross the road?
Yeah, it is so weird that it is this again.
And he's like, why did the chicken cross the road? And I wrote in my notes and said out loud, to punch the shit out of a bear.
Yes.
Because I was joking, because I was a little annoyed, because this gimmick didn't work the first two episodes. And then the chicken pies Fozzie in the face.
Yes. Pretty close.
I always wonder about when they pie Muppets in the face. I'm like, oh, is that expensive?
I actually had the same thought.
How do they clean them?
Like, is it not whipped cream? Is it, like, just suds?
Yeah, like, is the Muppet just done after that? Like, is there a specific Muppet made out of something cleanable?
My guess was it was just, like, cleaning solution. Like, it was whatever they used to clean Muppets. We're doing research.
Because, like, I've always wondered. Pie has its own thing on the Muppet wiki, which is bananas.
Cream pie.
Wow. This is... It doesn't say anything about how they do it, but it's kind of hilarious that Pie has a whole wiki page.
Yeah.
So, then we get a Pigs in Space.
I cannot tell you what this Pigs in Space was about.
This is the one where it's Milo Sock Drawer, who looks a bit like Darth Vader, but sounds like Woody Allen.
Yeah.
Is in love with Miss Piggy and is trying to, like, force her to be his queen.
Yeah, and Piggy's into it, and then it turns out he's ugly.
Yeah. And he's threatening the rest of the ship because he changes Hogthrob's rubber ducky into a giant scary duck. So Hogthrob and Strange Pork are just going to give Piggy to him to make him go away. Which is gross.
Yeah, it's...
So then, like, we go back to the Little Muppet Monsters, and Tug asks Boo to make him a sandwich. Boo tries to do it with magic, and Boo turns Tug into a sandwich.
Yeah, makes him into a sandwich.
And then he does the same thing. He turns Molly into a chicken.
Yes, by accident.
And, like, this doesn't get better. Like, we end the Pigs in Space thing, which is what we've already talked about. Right. And then we get a Muppet Shorts again.
Oh, yeah, we do get another animal. And the whole time, it's just Animal not understanding baseball.
Yeah.
It's like, well, first the batter goes to home plate.
And me love pancakes!
He starts making a batter at home on a plate. So I just kept sitting there going, no, Animal, that's not what they mean. They don't mean an actual bat. They mean a wooden bat. Animal, no.
If you were six, this might have been really funny.
If you're six, it's fine.
Yeah, like, sometimes you have to keep in mind who the audience was intended to be. And I think a 6-year-old might have really thought that was funny.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just, I was like, okay, I get it.
Yes. And then Boo is trying to fix it himself, and so all that happens is Boo accidentally switches them and changes Tug into a chicken and Molly into a sandwich.
Yeah.
And Boo has insisted he doesn't need anyone's help. He can do it. He can fix it. And finally he caves and accepts the book's help.
Yes.
And the book helps him and teaches him a valuable lesson.
Don't do magic.
No, it actually says, like, magic is fine, but accept help and know how to do things.
Right.
And then there is a Kermit the Frog Private Eye sketch that I took no notes on.
I couldn't tell you. I was like, I'm pretty sure we saw three of these. But it was one of those things where...
they got old so quick.
One, it got old. Two, like, the conflict of the little Muppet monsters had ended.
Yeah.
So in my brain, I was like, well, this episode is over.
And we'd already heard the song.
Yeah, and there was already a song. So, like, when Kermit started, I was like, okay, I don't know what we could possibly need more of right now.
I think it's a formatting issue of the songs always should have been the last thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because the Kermit the Frog Private Eye cartoons are weaker than the songs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was... That's the three episodes that aired. There were a few more chunks that we did watch of unaired episodes, but they weren't very good.
Yeah, they're even more disconnected.
Because when you're watching just the Muppet parts, it's obvious how thin the stories are.
Yeah.
So there's been some, you know, controversy about why the show was canceled.
Okay.
One of the big issues is Marvel Productions and Toei Animation were not getting the animated bits on time. And the animated bits were actually the majority of the budget, as you might have been able to tell by how adorably budget the rest of the show looks. So they couldn't get the shows done on time. The Muppet situations were filmed and done and ready to go. But without the animations, they were only like 10-minute episodes.
Right.
So CBS was just putting on another Muppet Babies episode to fill the time slot.
Yeah.
And
I assume it did better.
It did better. And Jim Henson kind of thought the show wasn't up to the Muppets brand.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this combination of Muppet Babies was doing better. It wasn't up to snuff in comparison to the rest of the Henson Associates productions. And they just kind of decided to keep running an hour of Muppet Babies. The Little Muppet Monsters theme song did stay around as the closing theme for the Muppet Babies.
Really?
Yeah. From like season three on, you can hear the Little Muppet Monsters theme song instead of the Muppet Babies theme song.
Oh, weird.
On the closing credits. I always remember being like, I don't know this song. Why is this song playing? And then I'm being like, oh, crap, that scary Spider-Man's going to appear soon. I better go. I would hide in the bathroom when the scary Spider-Man was going to come down.
Why?
Because I was 5 and terrified of the Spider-Man that would drop down from the top of the screen at the end of Muppet Babies.
What did you think was going to happen?
I don't know. I was 5.
All right.
He was really scary.
What did he do that was scary?
He
was Spider-Man?
He was like early CGI, so he was like Uncanny Valley creepy Spider-Man. I didn't like it. Didn't like it.
All right.
Did not like it. As a note, the only animated character who shares the voice with their Muppet, Beaker.
Makes sense.
So, yeah, the show just didn't work. According to Jim, according to CBS, the show just didn't work.
How about according to us?
So, I'm gonna say it's a stay tuned.
What?
With the expansion of the Muppet Monsters and fewer animated segments.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that's enough of a change for the game over rule to come into play.
Well, here's the thing that I have a problem with. Can you tell me a trait that one of the Muppets have, one of the Little Muppet Monsters have, that the other two do not?
Tug is a glutton, and Boo is stubborn.
Yeah, is that a trait, or is that just a thing that happened in an episode?
Well, Tug is a glutton in every version. He wants to do a cooking show at one point.
Okay.
So Tug is usually food motivated. Molly has no traits outside of girl, which is very common for 1980s Saturday morning cartoons.
It's just like, you know, you think of like the Ninja Turtles. Someone picks their favorite Ninja Turtle because there's something that separates them from the other two. If someone...
The other three.
Or other three, excuse me. When it comes to Little Muppet Monsters, there's no reason to like one over the others, because they're all basically the same. They don't look the same, but there's nothing that makes one special over the others.
Yeah, I mean, Molly has no traits. I'll be the first one to admit, Molly has nothing going on. Tug is the oldest.
Yeah, I know that.
So he, like, pulls rank a few times.
And that is said aloud.
Well, like, he kind of tries to be in charge and then isn't.
So, let me ask you this.
I think they could, but, like, we also only saw three episodes. I wonder if we saw the first three episodes of Fraggles, if they're set in their characters yet, either.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of the whole point of the Fraggles, is, like, Boomer is, like, a downer, and Red is excited, and, the fuchsia one is compassionate.
The fuchsia one. I'm trying to figure out.
And was it Wibbly is nervous?
I was going to say, do you mean Gobo?
I meant Gobo as a downer. No, I don't mean Gobo. I meant Boomer.
Boober.
Boober.
Which, sorry. I love that there was a children's character named Boober.
Gobo's the leader, but he's like a little controlling.
Yeah, like.
The characters in the Fraggles were kind of stock characters.
Yeah.
While the characters in Little Muppet Monsters were so nothing.
Yeah.
And, like, because it's children's television, you always kind of feel like the puppet should be talking to the audience, and they never do.
I don't have that thing about the puppet should be talking to the audience. I think because I've been watching the Muppets since I could crawl.
Yeah.
Because the Muppets don't really talk to the screen that much in the Muppet Show.
I know, but I'm talking about this specific type of children's show where there is one set, they're just kind of doing stuff around it, and it's for a child.
I mean, in Sesame Street, they largely interacted with each other during the puppet sequences. That interactivity that you're thinking of is later in the 80s and early 90s. You're thinking of, like, that Dora the Explorer, Blue's Clues,
yes.
Big Gala, Comfy Gala Couch. Island,
yes.
Like, that level of interactivity didn't really rise until late 80s, early 90s, mm-hmm. when parents were starting to get upset about how much TV their kids were watching.
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of also throwing in that, like, it's weird to hear a children's show praise television.
Yeah, that is true. But I think with the more expansion of Molly, Tug, and Boo, and kind of thinking about them a little more, this could have been a Stay Tuned as a children's show.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Did these characters ever show up again in anything?
Are
they ever, like, in the background of a shot in Muppet Treasure Island or anything like that?
So, the crazy Muppet wiki says that Tug Monster appears in the Muppets of Walt Disney World and then appears in a few other things as somebody else. Do-Re-Mi Monster in Muppet Time and in Mop-A-Top Shop as Marvin Mudmaker.
Huh.
And he also appears in The Muppets, A Celebration of 30 Years, which aired in 1986, which means, like, they were probably just stock Muppets that were around.
Yeah.
Because I remember they were really filling out, like, the crowd shots with whatever they could find. Yeah, they all appear to have shown up in that Mop-A-Top Shop as different creatures.
Hmm.
Because they were trying to, you know, trying to just, like, pad out the extra Muppets.
Yeah.
Boo, for some reason, has been on The Cosby Show and Good Morning America and appears in the Jim Henson Hour. So Boo had, like,
Boo is the breakout star.
Apparently. Holy crap. Sorry, I clicked on the Jim Henson Hour Wikipedia article, and the first thing I saw was terrifying. But look, there's Boo in the Miss Galaxy pageant.
Huh.
So, he became a background Muppet in the Jim Henson Hour.
Well, I will say this. I think you're right in saying that there's nothing wrong with this show, and, like, if you planted a kid in front of it, they would watch it. That, in my opinion, is not a reason to call it a Stay Tuned, though.
Well, I'm saying, I think the show could have been good if they developed the characters a little more. And then, again, only three episodes aired. we could have gotten a little more character development if we'd spent a little less time on the crappy animated segments.
We could have, but they weren't going to not, like, stop showing the animated sections. That's what the show was going to be. It was going to be Wienerville without the love.
Yeah, fair.
And, like, there's a part of me that's like, the gimmick is they're down in the basement of the Muppet Show. Which means, like, a few feet from them, a much better show is happening.
That's fair.
But we're choosing to watch this.
All right. I can see that.
So, it's a stay doomed from me, just because, like, other than it being a mediocre Muppet project, it offers no other value.
Okay.
So, I'm going to go stay doomed.
All right. I'm going to stick with stay tuned, because I think it did show promise. And I think, like, in the right hands, it could have been more than it was, and it could have been better.
Yeah. I also, like, I know this is against the rules, but it's also, in my book, a situational Stay Doomed. We always say, like, the show outside of time.
Yeah.
But, like, the fact that this goes away and gives Muppet Babies more of a push, which is clearly a better show, like, that's good. I'm glad that happened.
Okay.
So I think that's it, right?
Yeah, that's...
So much for this being the shortest episode.
But, it's not that long.
But, I mean, this is an average episode.
It's shorter than average. It's under an hour.
Oh, there's going to be clips and stuff. This is probably going to be over an hour.
Oh, okay.
But we definitely... This definitely went longer than Xticles.
Fair.
What are we watching next week?
I believe we're finally watching The Quest.
We're watching The Quest! This has been recommended by my buddy M.
Yep.
On Twitch. I'm sorry I forgot your Twitter handle. But thank you to M. We're going to watch The Quest.
I believe Emily also asked us
for this? Oh, okay. And it is an ABC reality show that exists in a fantasy world. Confusing sentence.
Yeah, we did actually try to watch this first run and just kind of forgot to keep watching it.
Where can people find us, Lara?
You can email us at thestaydoomedshow@gmail.com or Facebook and Twitter at Stay Doomed.
And if you want to talk to me about your favorite Muppet, I'm at TV's Noah.
If you were also afraid of the Spider-Man that dropped down at the end of Muppet Babies, I'm at Priorities. Until next time, stay doomed.